We're going to look this morning at the God of our redemption. The God of our redemption. Way back in Genesis chapter 37, Joseph, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, was sold by his brothers as a slave down into Egypt. Now, while in Egypt, Joseph was put in prison for something he did not do. He interpreted the two dreams of Pharaoh also. And both dreams meant the same thing. God was going to send 7 good years of harvest, followed by 7 years of famine. And Joseph was then promoted out of prison to being second in the land, next to Pharaoh. Now up in Canaan, Jacob hears that there's corn in Egypt, and he sends 10 of his sons to buy corn so that they would live and not starve. And Joseph makes himself known to his brothers, and he sends for his father Jacob, and Jacob moves down into Egypt, and Joseph places his father Jacob and brothers together with their families in the best land of Egypt. Now as we come to Exodus, the book of Exodus, some 400 years have passed, and the new rulers of Egypt, no longer appreciating how Joseph has saved Egypt from starvation and ruin, see the children of Jacob multiplying and growing stronger. So they enslave them, giving them hard work. The children of Israel are now in bondage and slavery. The Lord has heard the cries of the children of Israel in bondage, and he has sent Moses to deliver them and to bring them out of Egypt and back to the land of Canaan. And just as Jacob and his family lived as free men in Egypt, and then they were brought into bondage and slavery, so our first parents, Adam and Eve, were free to live in the Garden of Eden. But then they came into bondage, the bondage of sin. And so the bondage of sin has come upon all mankind. In Exodus chapter 6 here, God is now preparing to deliver the children of Israel, to bring them out of bondage, and to bring them back into the promised land. These opening verses here in Exodus chapter 6 are a wonderful picture of the Lord taking a people to himself in redemption blessing. So let us learn of our redemption in the Lord this morning. First of all, let us consider the person. Down through the centuries, mankind has declared to himself and to others that they do not believe in God. Or if they believe in a God, it's a small g. They have made God to be the imagination of their hearts, an idol. This day and age is no exception. We can see all around us in the world today idolatrous worship and people standing up and openly declaring there is no God. Now here in a reading of Exodus chapter 6, God is declaring that he is no idol to Moses and to us through the written word of God. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 2, and God spake unto Moses. The Lord is speaking to Moses, and he is speaking in a very clear and powerful way. Now an idol cannot speak. Verse 3, the Lord says, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. God has appeared unto the patriarchs. An idol cannot appear at different times in history to different people. In order to move, an idol has to be carried about. Verse 5 of Exodus 6, the Lord says, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Here God is saying that they can hear the groaning of the people. He can see their bondage, and he has memory. An idol cannot hear, an idol cannot see, an idol has no power of memory. The psalmist gives us a beautiful detailed description of this in Psalm 115, verses 2 to 8. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? For our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. So we can all understand from these few verses that the true God of heaven is very much a living God who has power to act, who has power to speak. To believe that there is no God or trust in an idol is very much to be mistaken and to be deluded by the lies of the devil. Now, there are many names for God in Scripture. No one name can fully describe the Lord of glory. We give names to our children or bestow titles upon one another. But with God, names have a very special meaning, and which he has given to describe himself. Mankind has not given these names to God, but God alone has given them to himself. You'll notice here that two names are used in verse 2 of Exodus 6 to describe the person of God. In verse 2, the first word God uses to describe himself is the word God. And God spake unto Moses. Here we have the word God for God himself. This is the Hebrew word known as Elohim. And it means the all-powerful one. Speaks of infinite and unlimited power, strength and might. The same word is found for God in the opening verse of the Scriptures. In the beginning, God. That's the same word being used there for God. God spoke this world and universe into existence by the word of his power. Ladies, you know if you go to mix something, you get the ingredients together and you put it all together in a bowl and store it up. You men, you know, if you go to mix something, you have the tools, you have the equipment, and you have the materials to mix something. God spoke this vast universe into being by the word of his power. He did not have the ingredients before him. Bring them all together. He spoke, and it was done. That is the power of God this morning. Unlimited. Almighty. Let's glorify and exalt the Lord this morning. There is no one or anything that is greater in power than God. He is Almighty God. Genesis 17 and verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty. Almighty God. Today the ungodly and sometimes the child of God will bring God down to the size and limit of mankind. They limit God to the intelligence and power of the human mind and body. And we can understand this to a certain extent. It's natural because our minds cannot think beyond ourselves. And this is why we have a tendency to bring God down to our level. But we must think beyond our human power of reason of thought, and look by faith and see the majesty and the power and glory of God this morning, the God of heaven that belongs only to him and to him alone. No matter what the highly educated man may say in these days, no matter how many letters he may have after his name, should there be as many as what's found in a dictionary? If they stand up and say that there is no God, that there's no such thing as creation, that there's no such thing as heaven and hell, do not believe them. Doesn't matter how many letters they have after their name. Dr. So-and-so or PH so-and-so. If they stand up and speak contrary to the word of God, Do not believe them. We have a tendency, because a man is highly educated, then what they say is correct. We have that tendency. And so in their own field of science or medicine or whatever, that's fine. But when it comes to the scriptures, if they speak contrary to the word of God, do not believe them. If you have the slightest doubt in your own heart that there is a God, do not believe what your own heart would even say to you. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Believe the written and inspired word of God as we have in the authorized version of the scriptures. Do not be reading any modern versions. If I hear of you reading a modern version, I'll send the Reverend Crane down to your home to get it off you. The modern versions, set them to the one side. They are corrupt. We cannot read them. The Lord has preserved and maintained his word. We have it today in our modern tongue and in our mother tongue. The authorized version, that's where we stop. That's where the free church stands to and holds to. Do not be reading modern versions. Do not be thinking, oh, if I read a modern version, I can understand the scriptures better. It's the Holy Spirit gives you understanding when you get into the quiet place, when you come before the Lord to read and study and to meditate upon his word. There's no shortcut to understanding the scriptures. We must come before the Lord. The Holy Spirit takes the word and impresses it upon our soul. Ask the Lord to help you to rightly divide the word of truth, and you'll get all the learning you need out of the authorized version. Believe the written and inspired word of God. The second word in this verse that God uses to describe himself is the word Lord. Verse 2, God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Now notice the word Lord is in block capitals. There are three main names for God, and all the other names are built around those three names. And the three names is God, this name, Lord, in block capitals, and the third one, which we are not taking time to consider this morning, is also called Lord, capital L, small O-R-D. Those are the three names for God. And all other names are built upon those three names. Now this word here is block capital Lord. This word means the self-existent one. One who needs no one or nothing to sustain himself. The one who is the great I am. The great Jehovah God this morning. Isaiah 44 and verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Beside me there is no God. Isaiah 42 and verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So often we can pat ourselves on the back. So often we can say, oh, I'm walking well in the Christian life here and got this far and so on and so forth. Give God the glory this morning. Let's not pat ourselves on the back. Sinners saved by grace. We are today by the grace of God. Give him the glory. Don't be getting a proud look up and saying, oh, I've got this far, I know the scriptures and I'm good in prayer and so on and so forth. That's good, but the Lord has brought you thus far. Give him the glory. My glory will I not give to another. And what the Lord is saying to us in these verses here is, in Isaiah, is, there's no other God. He alone is the true and living God of heaven. And God is a jealous God. He will not give his glory to another, nor his praises to any graven images. The Lord needs no one or nothing to sustain him. He doesn't need us this morning. He doesn't need food and sustenance to keep him alive. He is the self-existent one. This vast world and universe he could obliterate in the morning and God will still be there. The great Jehovah, the great I Am. Now he is not as some people think, and I say this reverently. He is not as some people think, an old grey-headed man by now, thousands of years old, sitting in a rocking chair. I've had people talk and describe God like that. Not able to do much. So he's losing control, and that is why the world is in such a mess. Maybe you've heard people talk like that. Nothing could be further from the truth. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As he was before the foundation of the world, he will be the same for all eternity. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Ask God the Holy Spirit to impress the truth of God's word upon your soul in these days, brother and sister, that you will not be blown about with every whim of doctrine, but you will be built up in your most holy faith. I am the Lord. I change not. Not only does the Lord declare there's no other God beside him, but the Lord also says in Isaiah 43 and verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. No Savior. The Lord is saying that there's no salvation to be found outside of himself. Notice that the Lord believes in salvation. Beside me there is no Savior. The Lord believes in salvation this morning. While mankind would say to you, there's no need to be saved. Have you a relative or a workmate or someone you've spoke to him about salvation? Oh, you don't need to be saved. I've asked my minister that I attend to. They tell me you don't need to be saved. I'm christened or confirmed. I'm in church membership. I even sit at the communion table. I'm a church member. I don't need to be saved. A lie from the devil, who is the father of lies. The Lord has not given to any world religious figure the power to save, nor to any denomination. Nor has the Lord said that there's salvation to be had through works of righteousness. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah 2 and verse 9. And maybe you're here in this meeting this morning and you're still not saved. Outside of Christ, without a Savior, from the youngest to the oldest. You're sitting here this morning. It's good to see you here. Thank you for coming. Continue to come to the house of God. But you're sitting here this morning and you're not saved. How many years have you sat under the Word of God? Coming to this church will not save you. Being a member of some other denomination will not save you. Doing works of good and righteousness and giving to charity and looking after the poor and all these things while they're good and right in their own sight, they will not save you. You must come to the Lord Jesus. He alone was the one who hung upon the cross of Calvary. No one else hung upon the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ hung there for you and for me because he loved us. We have a never dying soul. He wants to save us and take us to heaven. But if you reject the Lord Jesus this side of eternity, if you say in your heart, no, I don't want none of this saving business, then when the Lord calls you out into his eternity, don't expect him to accept you. Depart from me. I never knew you. Is there someone in this meeting this morning, and those words are aimed right at your very heart now because you're not saved? Serious business to sit on this side of eternity and reject the Lord Jesus. He will take you out. God will take you out in his time. Don't be saying the doctors have got me operated on and give me more medicine and more tablets and I'm living here another way. It was the Lord's good hand upon you through the medical profession that you're still here yet. But when God says, come out into my eternity, That's it. No physician in this world will keep you here. So that's why it's so important. We don't know when the Lord will say, time up. You must be ready. Come and be saved this morning. Salvation is of the Lord, and of the Lord alone, and in and through the Lord only. Come and be saved this morning. Do not delay. Not only does the word Lord in block capitals mean the self-existent one, but it also speaks of righteousness and truth, of absolute faithfulness to himself and to his word. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. The Lord is not a man that he should lie. Man will tell lies. Even God's own dear people might tell a lie in all time. Man will tell lies and change his mind. But the Lord is a spirit infinite and eternal. He is faithful and true. His promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. The scriptures are inspired by him. God breathed, and they are true. And the Lord will never be unfaithful to his word. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make good? Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. Whether it be with regard to temporal, spiritual, or eternal things, there is no variableness nor shadow of turning with the Lord. Never forgets his word. He foresees all events. Nothing catches the Lord out unawares. He rules, and he's overruling in this vast universe. He is able to perform that which he has spoken, true and faithful. And therefore, whatsoever he has spoken to us through his precious word will never be altered, but will be most certainly fulfilled. Psalm 89 and verse 34, my covenant, a promise or an undertaking, that word covenant means, will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my mouth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And therefore you hear sometimes of a situation, a young Christian, I'm not picking on the young ones this morning, a young Christian, I've heard of an illustration, a young Christian girl went with a fellow, an unsaved person, and she come up and she said, I've had a dream that the Lord has told me to marry this young person. The dream was from the devil himself. How do we know that? God cannot act contrary to his word. We read, be ye not unequally yoked together. God will not change that around and say, oh, go ahead and marry an unsaved. That's just one little illustration I want to bring you in. God cannot go against his word. Never. It's impossible. Therefore, when we seek guidance and direction, don't be relying on dreams, etc., etc. Go to the word of the Lord. If you're sincere in your heart, then the Lord will guide you through the word. The word is our direction of how we walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Cannot act contrary to his word. To go against his nature, it would be a denying of himself, which is impossible. Therefore, his faithfulness will never fail. The person. Notice, secondly, the promises. Here in Exodus chapter 6, God gives to Moses a number of promises, and Moses was to speak the promises to the people. Verses 6 to 8. Verse 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel. Now notice that the promises start in verse 6 with the words, I am the Lord. And they end in verse 8 with the same words, I am the Lord. The repeating of the name emphasizes that it is the God, Lord God, who is speaking and making these promises. And it is not Moses or some other human. I am the Lord. And not only is it the Lord who is making the promises, but from the very first promise to the last promise in these verses, the Lord is overseeing them all. He truly is Alpha and Omega of our faith, the beginning and the end. What the Lord starts, that he will also finish. Being confident, brothers and sisters, of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, that good work of salvation, will perform it, will carry it out, will see it through until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the Lord calls us home to glory, he is looking after us and he will take each and every one of his children. From the very moment the Lord saves us, he is with us. Never leave us. We have already learned something about the two names of God, that he is powerful and faithful. He then is able to save us. He is able to keep us. And he's able to take each and every one of his blood-bought children home to glory, to be forever with him throughout all eternity. His word is true. He cannot deny himself. Note also, all the promises, beginning with the words here, these promises in verses 6 to 8, they all begin with the words, I will. Verse 6, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Verse 6, I will rid you out of their bondage. Verse 6, I will redeem you. Verse 7, I will take you. Verse 7 again, I will be to you a God. Verse 8, I will bring you in unto the land. Verse 8, I will give it you for an heritage. The Lord will bring them out of bondage. He will take them to himself as his children, and he will bring them into the promised land. The I wills of the Lord are sure and certain. What he says, he will do. There's no need to doubt God's word. He is not a man that he should lie. The Lord saves us by bringing us out of bondage to Satan and sin. He takes us to himself in salvation blessing. And we are the children of the Lord. And he will bring us into the promised land, heaven itself, to be forever with the Lord. All in this meeting this morning, the blood washed of the Lord, that we are the Lord's people. Notice also that we read out 7 I wills. Who was counting? No one was counting. There are 7 I wills. God makes no mistake in his word. 7 I wills. In Scripture we learn of the different ways in which the number 7 speaks to us. The number 7 speaks to us of completeness or perfection. God created all things in the beginning in 6 days and then rested on the seventh. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made and he rested on the seventh day from all his work. Creation was complete and perfected in 7 days. It was very good. And our new creation in Christ Jesus is complete and perfect. Nothing more to be added to our perfect salvation. No works needed by us to complete the salvation of our soul. When the Lord saves us, then that's perfect. It's complete. We're saved. The Lord said in verse 6 of Exodus 6, I will bring you out. And in verse 8, I will give it you. The Lord brought the children of Israel out of bondage and into the promised land. He completed the promises that he had given to his people. The Lord Jesus says to us in John chapter 14, the opening verses, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord has brought us out of bondage, redeemed us by his precious shed blood, and he will complete the good work which he hath begun in us by taking us all home to heaven. complete salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The number 7 also carries the thought of finished or done. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants. And in Revelation 16 and verse 17, the 7th angel poured out his vial into the earth. There came out a great voice from the temple of heaven, from the throne, saying, "It is done." So the number 7, the thought also implies finished or done. And the Lord Jesus has finished the work of redemption on Calvary. The work was done at Calvary. "It is finished," he cried. Nothing more to be added. Come as you are, unsaved person, this morning. Throw off your sins. Throw off your worldly righteousness. Come as you are. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to save you to the uttermost. My time is going quickly, but the number 7 also speaks of deliverance. That comes in with Nebuchadnezzar heating the furnace up 7 times hotter to burn the 3 Hebrew children in the fire because they wouldn't bow down to him. The Lord preserved them in the fire, brought them out. No smell of smoke on their clothes. Hair was not singed. Heat the furnace 7 times hotter. The children were delivered out of that. Complete deliverance from God's people from the power of death. And in Romans 7 verse 24, the Apostle Paul asks, "Who shall deliver me from the body of death?" And the Lord Jesus Christ has broken the power of death by rising from the tomb on the 3rd day, a living Savior. Don't let anybody tell you he swooned on the cross, went unconscious for a while, and then came alive again in the tomb. Voluntarily laid down his life that you and I might have life. "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." The clay body was laid in the tomb, resurrected the 3rd day. And the Lord Jesus has broken the power of death by rising from the tomb. Because he lives, then we shall live also. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" We're on the victory side this morning, brothers and sisters. Victory side with the Lord Jesus Christ as our Redeemer and our Savior. This then is the God of our redemption. Child of God, never doubt your salvation. If you have any doubts this morning, if Satan has sowed that old seed of doubt in your heart, am I saved or am I not saved? Don't believe the devil's lies this morning. If you genuinely called out to the Lord to save you, then you're saved. The Lord has honored that prayer. And don't let the devil tell you otherwise. Whom the Lord is able to save, he saves to the uttermost. And those whom he has saved, he will keep. And the Lord will take all those who are his children. He will take every one of his blood-bought children home to glory. Not one child will the Lord lose. Satan will never come into the Lord's presence and snatch you or me out of his hand. Never. He is Almighty God, isn't he? Yes. Safe in the Lord this morning. Believe it. Go forth in the power and might of the Lord. Serve the Lord in these days. Maybe you've lost your first love. Maybe there's someone who's come into your life and has left your life a wee bit tender and raw and difficult to think of circumstances this morning. You've lost your first love. You've doubted the Lord. Come back to the Lord. Renew your first love. There's cleansing this morning in the precious shed blood of the Lamb. There's power in the blood to wash you and to cleanse you. Rededicate your life to the Lord this morning. And take up your cross once again and go forth for him in these days. I don't have to tell you how sad a state our little land is in. Evil abounds on every hand. The government has broken every law of God and the commandments. How we need to be stirred up on these days. Pray down a blessing from heaven. See revival in our land once again. Souls saved. Backsliders restored. And a church of God going on from strength to strength to the glory of God. May the Lord bless these few words to all of our hearts for his name's sake. We'll conclude